At a True Woman conference, Karen Laritz took the stage. She shared about the night her family began to walk through a deep, dark valley.
I have never been so broken, in such despair, so worried about our little family as I had been that night.
Fern Nichols from Moms in Prayer was in the auditorium that night.
What was so sweet about Karen as she spoke to the women is that she really bared her heart, that it's not always easy to be a true woman who trusts and obeys God's word. And her family are going through a very difficult time. She was able to share how she chose to make decisions in light of being a true woman that helped her. So she was very real, and I'm sure she touched many hearts with being so vulnerable.
We're about to hear that message that affected Fern Nichols and thousands of others. This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wohlgemuth, author of Adorned, Living Out the Beauty of the Gospel Together. For June 27th, 2024, I'm Deanna Gresh.
Let me ask you, what's the deepest concern on your heart today? We're about to hear a message from my friend Karen Laritz. She's really honest about the struggles and pain that we experience in this life. And not only is she very real and vulnerable about the pain, she'll also take us to the feet of Jesus, where you can find the only genuine help right in the middle of your pain.
So true. Well, Karen is the wife of Dr. Crawford Laritz, who served for many years as pastor of Fellowship Bible Church in Roswell, Georgia, a suburb of Atlanta.
She's also a dear personal friend and prayer partner. She delivered this message at a True Woman conference hosted by Revive Our Hearts. Here's Karen.
I got this little plaque, and it simply stated trust, T-R-U-S-T. It's a cute little plaque. It says trust, and I placed it in my kitchen as so I can see it when I'm going into the refrigerator. Those days that I do cook, because I'm an empty nester, the days that I do cook at the stove. But it really represents what I really wanted my life to be. I just wanted to trust God. That particular plaque has become an eyesore to me. I'll tell you the reason why. Last year, my husband announces to our church that we are going to host a 10-day tour to the Holy Lands. And ladies, for three different tries, Crawford has tried to get me to go to the Holy Lands. And I already told him, I said, I'm going to the Holy Lands. I'm going first class, and Jesus is going to be my tour guide. I had no desire to go to the Holy Lands. And the only reason why I didn't want to go to the Holy Lands, let me be honest with you, I didn't like flying. If there's any other way to get over to the Holy Lands, I wanted to go. But I think I would need to take a plane to get over there. And for me, taking a flight, I try to help the pilot out. I am just not a good person to fly in a plane. But he announces to the whole church that we're going to the Holy Lands, and my wife is going with me. And every time I saw that little plaque in the kitchen that says trust, I says, okay, God, okay, you've got my attention, and now I'm going to really have to step up and trust you. Because I wanted to go, because God had provided a free ticket for us to go, and there was no earthly reason why I shouldn't go. Plus, God called us to go, and I wanted to be obedient to go on that. Plus, that little trust sign grew eyes and was shouting at me, trust me, trust me, trust me. So we went to the Holy Lands in October. And ladies, let me tell you, if you haven't gotten a chance to go, if you have an opportunity to go, to see the place where our Savior lived and died, you'll look at the Bible a whole lot differently. And so I went to the Holy Lands. I wasn't squeamish on the plane for 13 hours. It was a great flight. I knew people were planning for, and Delta did a really good job of getting us over there. So I trusted him. Then my husband announced that we were going to take this trip that had been scheduled 2 years prior. We're going to go to the island of Fiji. Now, I don't know what map you've looked at, but it's kind of hard to find Fiji on the map. It's like the end of a sentence. I mean, there's no font. There's not even a 6-point font, an 8-point. You can't even see it on the map. And he says, Karen, we have been invited by the former ambassador from Fiji. He's a believer to come over and minister with another couple to families and their leaders. And we're going to go. Got my prayer partners praying for me again. And that was a great flight over. We even went first class. God arranged that we went first class by these people. And we went over there, 11-hour flight from California. It was a great flight, great ministry. Hundreds of people received the Lord Jesus Christ. But for me, it was just seeing that God says, when you trust me, God works everything out, even the flight over. So those were two of the things that God had put me through. But you know, God has a way in my life of serving up exams. And one of his exams was, Karen, I want to know, would you really trust me? And so he serves up these things I call crisis buffets. One of them was going over to Israel, that flight, check, I passed. The other flight, it was going over to Fiji. And this next flight was coming into our life here this past February. This year, both Crawford and I will turn 60. He's older than me. He turned 61st in February, and I decided our sons had put together this golf trip. He loves golf, and flew Dad down to Florida, and the boys had a great 3-day celebration with their dad and took him on this golf trip. I wanted to do something a little small scale because he didn't want anything big. When you turn 60, you're supposed to do something, but he just wanted some friends. And so several couples, we got together and took him out to his favorite Italian restaurant. And there in the restaurant, we had a great, great time. Crawford was a little bit slow coming in from parking into the celebration. And when he came in, we just picked up. We had dinner. We were there for about 2.5 hours, and things were going just fine. After dinner, we got back, Crawford and I got back in the car, we were on the way home, and he turned to me, and these are the words that he said. He says, honey, something awful has happened to our family. And I just looked at him, and he started articulating that our family, that very evening, had come under spiritual attack. You see, our family was violated by someone we had loved and known for over 20 years. And it had split our family, our 4 children, just right in the heart. Ladies, let me tell you, I have never been so broken, in such despair, so worried about our little family as I had been that night. I was so anxious. I looked over in Crawford and I says, this is not happening. How could this be? How could somebody do this to our family that has divided our children? We don't have no idea how this had come about. This person that we had loved had come into our lives. We loved that person, and they violated us. And as I'm looking at Crawford, I'm saying, you know, this is a horror movie. I'm not really hearing what he's saying. And I'm kind of listening to him and looking at him, and he says, yes, honey, this is true. Ladies, let me just tell you what happened. Next several days, I wish I could say I really wanted to spank somebody, but I wanted to take my fists and punch somebody. I wanted to hurt somebody for hurting my husband and my 4 children. They have violated us. It was not the Christian thing to do. I wasn't going to be lovey-dovey. I wanted to hit somebody and hurt somebody real, real bad. Because my children were crying. I was tired of crying. And those very next several days, I went from room to room to room crying out to God, God, help me. Help us. I talked about the blood of Jesus. I with the defensive prayers. I was battling for the very soul of our family. This wasn't right. This wasn't right. And I was tired of being tired, of sick and tired of crying. I don't know, probably buckets of tears. I cried. And then you know what? There was that stinking little trust sign. That stinking trust sign stared me in the face. I felt like picking it up and... Yeah, you got it. But I felt as though if I had touched it, I would have had leprosy because God was trying to teach me something. And I dared not do it. But ladies, hear me. You know, God is a smart God. And so, of course, when I read my scriptures, this is what he gave me. Proverbs 28, 26. I don't know if it's in your Bible, but it popped into my Bible. And Proverbs 28, 26 says, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Yeah, I was a fool because I was better to do some damage. I wasn't going to be Christian about it. I was going to hurt somebody and then pray for forgiveness later. Can I be honest with you? Can I be honest with you? Because that was bad. That was bad news. But here's the other part of the verse. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but he who walks wisely will be delivered. He who walks wisely will be delivered. And lady, I want to talk about my deliverance. And all of us know that God will deliver us. He can deliver us from any situation. He'll deliver us in the situation. And we're 7 months into this horrible, horrible, horrible family crisis. And I have no idea how he's going to deliver us. But he'll deliver us through it. So let me just share just a few things, some of my ramblings on how God is working on Karen Loritz. Because I want to trust God. God is a true God. God is a good God. And if his word is true, he says, walk wisely and he will deliver. And God, I need deliverance. I don't know what's going to happen to our family. He says a true woman, a true biblical woman who wants deliverance, just not same old stuff. You take a stand for God. God's going to take you to God's school. And I've been always good at obeying God, but God says, Karen, I need for you to trust me in this situation. Because you're in the midst of this crisis. A wise woman, a true biblical woman, trusts in the peace of Christ. Secondly, she trusts in the power of the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, she trusts in the presence of God. If you have a Bible, turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. She trusts in the peace of Christ. Let me read the verses, Colossians chapter 3, verses 14 to 16. It says, verse 15, 16 to 17 of Colossians 3, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful, verse 16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. In verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Several things from this verse. A wise woman who trusts in the peace of Christ First of all, she has the peace of Christ, and it talks about let him call the shots. Let him rule. God was not asleep when our crisis hit the family. One of the things that I'm praying for God, I need for you to continually call the shots in our situation. I need for you, who knows the sovereign God, who knows everything. You are not blindsided. You are not asleep. You brought this into our lives so that we can trust you. But Lord, we know that you want us to experience your peace. Second thing it says, the word of Christ. God's word is true. How many times, year after year after year, have I sat and had devotions and cried and read and asked God and apply the word of God? Now God says, Karen, now it's time to go through the exam. The word of Christ. I love what Psalm 28:7 says. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart exalts, and with my song, I shall thank him. He says he's our strength and he's our shield. The word of Christ dwells in our hearts. It's soothing. It's comforting. And lastly, from Colossians passage, a true woman who trusts in the peace of God, she cultivates thankfulness. Thankful God? No, I'm not thankful. That day, I could not truly say that I was thankful for this slice of the crisis buffet that you served me. I was angry. I was hurt. I was fearful. I had no idea how our family would ever be. In fact, someone said, one of our children says, this is a defining moment in our family. We will never be the same. But I have to be thankful because God is not playing games with our life. You're just not a pawn on a chessboard. God loves you. God loves us. He has the best intentions for us, but he has to take you from one point to another to get you to be all that you said you want to be. And God, I want to be a woman that is true to the word of God. And how can I stand before people? How can I talk and pray for my grandchildren if I haven't seen God do some deep work in my life? Cultivate thankfulness. Proverbs 17:22 says, a joyful heart is good medicine. And my heart was broken. I had no joy. I was a complete mess. But scripture says, a joyful heart. I choose joy, God, in the midst of a mess. I choose joy because you're a good father and I have a thankful heart. So I'm going to be thankful in the midst of it. Why? Because I'm going to trust in the peace of Christ on who he is and what he says. Secondly, a wise woman, a truly biblical woman, trusts in the power of the Holy Spirit. If I didn't have the Holy Spirit, I would have just melted away that day in February. My heart was breaking. My heart was literally breaking in so many pieces that there wasn't enough trash bags for me to pick the pieces of my heart as though I was having a heart attack. But the Holy Spirit, God left the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit does a great job. He does a great job. For all of us that are believers, the moment of salvation, he comes and indwells us. But on a moment-by-moment decision of our will to him that we surrender the power to control us. Commit your way to God. And this is a hard thing for me. It could be a hard thing for you. Is take whatever stuff you're going through and lay it on the altar. And you know what? For me, what I needed to do is I needed to take our crisis and lay it on the altar and then tie that baby down because I kept going to the altar and taking it back off the altar. The presence of God says, commit your way to God and lay it on the altar and walk away. But God, you need my little help. No, Karen, I don't need your help. But God, if you could do it this way, or God, if you just hurt that person just a little bit, don't kill them. Just a little bit. Commit it to God.
That was Karen Loritz sharing how she learned to trust God during a challenging time for her family. Can you identify with Karen's honesty and how she felt broken, in despair, and worried about her family? There's a growing number of families who find themselves heartbroken over a loved one who's far from the Lord. Here at Revive Our Hearts, we wanted to help you proclaim the power of God's Word and the power of your prayers as you pray for a prodigal. That's why we've created our newest resource, While You Wait for Your Prodigal, a 30-day prayer challenge. As you walk through four scripture passages, you'll spend time each day in God's Word and in prayer, and then the Make It Personal questions are going to help you take the message to heart. The print version of the challenge is available this month when you make a donation of any amount. Just request it when you visit reviveourhearts.com or call us at 1-800-569-5959. Tomorrow, Karen Loritz will talk about trusting God even in the midst of a crisis. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. This program is a listener-supported production of Revive Our Hearts in Niles, Michigan, calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.